Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello guys, welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place of everything related to Amazon FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy, and today we bring another special guest. His name is Tyler Jeffcoat, and he's the founder and CEO of Seller Accountant, which I would say is one of the top firms out there when it comes to really understanding how you can maximize profitability when it comes to understanding your numbers on the bookkeeping and the finance side of your business. I think we as an Amazon seller struggle a lot with that. I remember when I started selling on Amazon, my accounting was pretty much done on Excel and it was a total mess. I never really knew my profitability or my numbers in depth. And I think that's one of the main reasons why sellers are struggling nowadays, because they make decisions based more on emotional things than actually what the business allowed them to do in terms of the financial strength of their what they're building. So that's why I wanted to bring Tyler today, because I'm sure he's going to drop some amazing tips when it comes to that. And I can't wait to see how, you know, some sellers start implementing that. So Tyler, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend. How you doing?
Doing great, Vincenzo. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. We met in Prague approximately like 4 weeks ago, kind of 4 weeks ago. So we had an amazing time there. We had a nice steak. So yeah, it was a pleasure to meet you, man, and really learn more about, you know, the amount of value you bring to the community. I remember your presentation in the event, which was the European Seller Conference, was one of the ones that people were talking more about, because I feel when it comes to numbers, people always think about, you know, the only way to really be find the silver bullet is on the PPC, is on the pro research, is on the inserts and all of that. But sometimes the answer is on, you know, the way you actually track your numbers and make decisions around that. So I think people don't talk about that very often because, you know, let's be honest, most people don't have experience with that. So I'm very eager to take some insights around that. So before we jump into that, Tyler, I know you have a very interesting background, which is something we actually discussed when we met in Prague. So tell us a little bit about who is Tyler, how you jump into the space, and how you become an expert when it comes to everything related to, you know, profitability and so on.
Yeah, well, thanks again for having me, Vincenzo. So for me, I was a grad school student. I was a banker. I'm an accountant by trade, and I had an investor offer to throw some money at me in 2012 to start a company. And I don't know why he did that. He probably shouldn't have, but I was grateful. And so, you know, my wife just, that doesn't happen often. The blessing, you know, my wife had just quit her job. We had a 6-week-old. She just had her first baby. I'm like, so here's the pitch. I was like, okay, babe, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking about quitting a high paying corporate job with great benefits and joining a guy you've never met to go build a company in the industry we have no experience in. You know, what
this guy's crazy.
Yeah. And so thankfully my wife was like, go for it, buddy. Like, let's do it. And so, I think my journey, Vincenzo, and you can, I remember talking to you, you can empathize with this, but like, I made so many mistakes as a young CEO, and some of those mistakes an accountant with a finance focused MBA should have never made, but I made them anyway, because I was sloppy running my business. And so when I sold that company in 2017, we eventually had a good run, 0 to 100 employees in about 4 years. And I sold the company. I had an aha moment because I had to stick around for a few months during the due diligence period, and they made me the bookkeeper because I was accountant boy. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. And so I'm doing the books. And I'm like, damn, I really wish I'd have kept a closer eye on this when I was trying to run this business. And the aha for me is that I was a banker for 5 years, you know, I'm ashamed of this, but I'm an accountant. I have a finance focused MBA. And if I can almost crash this business every other month, then probably normal entrepreneurs out there struggle with it as well. And so when I went to build my next company, which is this one, Seller Accountant, I thought, man, let's try to find a niche where we can help other entrepreneurs start businesses and actually make money. And so that's kind of been our DNA since the beginning, back in right at the beginning of 2018.
Wow, what a journey, man. So yeah, I think that that's the beauty of, you know, being an entrepreneur. Sometimes you just learn from doing mistakes. And I think those mistakes at the end of the day is what usually drive you to do solutions that you bring to market to actually provide value to other people. Because, you know, through all the struggles that we go through, it's like myself. I was a seller initially, and then I did the agency because all the mistakes I did. The same in your case, like you saw that a lot of founders, I'm sure you have this conversation every single day. People have amazing ideas, amazing brands, but unfortunately, the reason why they're not scaling is because they don't really know their numbers. And it's something that it drives me crazy. Like, and it's something we're talking about before going live. Like, sometimes you ask people, like, do you know what is the profitability at the SKU level? And it's like they see you like you're an alien, like you're from another galaxy. Like, how you even calculate that, right? So I think we can use that as a starting point, because I feel unfortunately people don't really know what are actually driving the bottom line profitability, right? They don't apply the 20-80 rule. They might have 10, 20, 30 SKUs, and they don't really understand what is actually driving the profit, because maybe only 3 products are driving all the profit and their 17 are a waste. So tell us a little bit about if that's something you see more and more when you do audits to your clients, and what some of the advice you can give to mitigate that.
Yeah, well, so like a lot of the most common mistakes, Vincenzo, are just that people start a business and then they start growing. And, you know, I'm increasingly convinced that e-commerce is not a game of superior intelligence. It's more attention. Do I have enough attention to pay to each of the ACs? And so as we grow, we get a little bit stressed out. We're like trying to hire people. And then at the same time, Amazon fees are going up and our supply chain fees are going up. And so you add those things together. And unless you have a really good system for putting eyeballs on the performance of your brand, you can kind of wake up. Because guess what? We don't wake up until we feel pain. And so like if you have really good accounting, you get to wake up earlier. You still have the pain, but you get to wake up earlier and fix things. If you don't have good accounting or good ASIN level metrics in addition, you're going to wait until you're out of money and then you feel the pain and then it's too late. And so I think what we try to encourage our clients to do is, okay, guys, hold on, time out. We really have to measure the profitability of our company, of our channels, and of each of the products in the channel, because guess what? People are trying to kill us. There are products coming out trying to compete with us every day. And if we're not very intentional, we're not going to be woken up until we're about to hit the mountain and then it's too late. And so I think that's what we try to do for our clients, is make it more visible.
Yeah. Now, from that perspective, like I feel, attention is key. Like, and we see that all the time. Sometimes, especially as you start increasing your SKU count, it's super difficult to keep the eyes on all the fronts, because it's then every issue is multiplied. Like your PPC issues, your branding issues, your inventory issues, your financing issues. So, I guess one of the things I would like to start digging further in terms of advice is like, what are some of the things, maybe even from a routine perspective, sellers can do to make sure, you know, the homework doesn't start to become bigger and bigger every single day. And then you reach a point that you want to backtrack everything you have done and it's a mess, right? Especially if you want to have an exit. Like, we all know this. If you don't have clean books, that really can affect your multiples and you can leave a lot of money on the table. So what are some of the things, maybe on a monthly basis, you know, sellers should start doing as a routine to really make sure they are going on the right direction when it comes to their finances? Yeah.
Yeah, this is good. So I think these fall into two buckets. One is kind of the accounting bookkeeping bucket, and the other one is kind of the CFO analysis bucket. And so if you're a small startup seller, let's say you're doing, you know, less than 50K per month in revenue or something like that, you really don't need to be paying someone like me to do your accounting. You need to find a simple system. It's probably not Excel. It probably is Xero or QuickBooks Online.
Yeah.
And you need to pay attention to the data coming out of Amazon. You need to make sure, and this could be a monthly task to your point, Vincenzo. Mm-hmm. Monthly, I want to make sure that I am grossing up my sales so that I can see each of those FBA fees. I want to be able to see those storage fees, because I need those fees to hurt me. I need to feel the pain of spending that money. Same thing with my advertising. And so, you and I mentioned this before we hit record, but one of the important parts of that bookkeeping bucket is to have what's called accrual accounting. And what that means is we're not going to expense our inventory when we send the wire. No, no, no. We're going to have it be in a warehouse, and then we're only going to expense it in the month that we actually ship the units that we sell them. And I think if you just did that basic bookkeeping and looked at it, you would be better than probably 75% of all the sellers in the world.
I know.
Like CFO side of it, like just a real quick, and I'll let you get in here, is like, once you have basic bookkeeping, that's the price of admission. Do that first. You know, hey, you get to 50K a month or get to 100K a month, probably you'll look to hire someone like my team to do it, or there are other teams that do it well in the EU, but get it off your plate because it's not worth your time anymore. But at that point, I want you to spend 1 hour per week looking at your profitability per ASIN. And I don't care what dashboard you use, but you need to have accurate landed cost of goods sold estimates for each of your ASINs. And you need to have some tool that integrates with the advertising API so that you can see what your PPC was for the black one last week. I want to look at that every week. And if I see outliers, or if I see things that I'm not happy with, like I'll give you an example. Let's say that the refund rate spikes for a particular product. Then I'm gonna call, you know, Vincenzo and the team and be like, hey guys, I think we may have a listing issue. Or like, right. In other words, I want to create communication with my team so that we can fix issues and not wait for them to fester. And so if you just gave it 1 hour a week, and I want to look at every ASIN, I want to smoke out the problems and put those on a to-do list to look at. And then I want to look at my cash flow and say, do I have enough cash to meet all of my obligations over the next month? It's either a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to run out of cash, I want to know today and not in a month when I'm desperate. And so if you did those things for just 1 hour a week, then forget about it. Go run your business. Don't worry about it. But I think most sellers struggle to have any energy for the finance part of their business. And it just needs a little bit more love and attention from you, frankly.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's all about building that muscle in terms of repetition of doing things over and over until it becomes second nature. The same thing that every single day you go to your Amazon account to check your sales, do the same thing every single day, go and check your finances. That's actually what I do on a daily basis, checking my bank accounts and everything, because from a mindset perspective, I always have the numbers in my mind. So when I'm making a decision throughout the day, I know to some extent where I'm standing, right? It's not like I'm taking a decision from some kind of perception that maybe it's not the reality of the business. So yeah, having your numbers clean, super, super important. And I think something that go beyond even the optimization point of view of your business is even preparing for the future of the business. Because I think when you don't have a clean numbers, and this is something I would like to dive deeper now, is you even remove opportunities for financing solutions, because then if you go out there to find some kind of funding or some kind of investor, like nobody's really going to put money in a company that books makes no sense. And even from an exit perspective, we have seen a lot of people didn't do their booking properly. And then they realize they basically left hundreds of thousands of dollars on the table because they were not accounted as proper you know, proper numbers in terms of the EBITDA and all of that. So I guess let's bring that a little bit to the table. Like, what are some of the mistakes, even from that perspective, that sellers are doing, like in terms of preparing for an exit, for example? Like, you see people not attributing expenses properly. You see people not having a clean book. Tell me a little bit about that experience as well.
Yeah, it's such an important question. So I want to talk about buyer psychology for a minute here. So if you and I were to walk onto a car lot, we're going to buy an automobile, and the lot has garbage in the parking lot, and there's the grass hasn't been cut, and the windows are dirty, and the guy looks greasy, like he hadn't taken a bath in a week. We are unlikely to pay top dollar for that car. We're going to walk away because our first impression is a negative one. And you got to think about this. If you're going to try to borrow money from an institution, or if you're going to try to sell to an institution, that first impression either increases anxiety, which, by the way, if anxiety goes up, the amount of money you get goes down, or that first impression might decrease anxiety. And so I think I just encourage people to put themselves in the shoe. Like if my friend came to me and asked me to lend money to the business, and I looked at the books and they look like my books, Would I be excited about that, or would I run for the hills, or would I find a polite excuse? Hey, listen, Jimmy, I want to invest in your business, but now's just not the right time, right? Like, if you find yourself saying that, then you need to take a close look at getting things orderly. And so what we found is that all of the deals that got done with top multiples had at least 24 months of nice, clean, squeaky clean accounting. They had a clear handle on their inventory, especially how much they have and how much they pay per unit. And they were very good at answering the questions about, hey, how's Shopify doing relative to Amazon? Hey, how's the Amazon Germany marketplace doing relative to the UK? Can you give me some insights there? And they knew their numbers. And because they knew their numbers, that buyer's anxiety went way down and those deals got done really easily. When the anxiety gets kind of put up, then they don't ever get the deals done and they end up kind of falling through. So the things that you and I can't control, interest rates are bad right now. And a lot of the private equity players are kind of slow to get off the dime. We can't control that. What we can control is optimizing our business and having our ducks in a row so that when the market does open up again here sometime in the next year, we can go guns a-blazing and get the maximum value for our business.
Cool, cool. Now, from this exit perspective, I guess you mentioned that something very interesting, which is 24 months, right? And I want to also bring this to the table because sometimes I get this question all the time, which is how far in advance I need to start preparing my business toward an exit, right? In terms of cleaning my books and everything. So I guess I just want to do a quick focus on that because it's something I feel, especially with the conversation I have at advance and all of that, people is really confused about, you know, when is the right time to actually prepare my finances and all that. So tell me a little bit about what is actually the starting point. Let's say I decide today I want to prepare for an exit, right? What is the first thing I have to do to make sure I'm going the right direction in terms of preparing on my booking and all of that?
Yes. I mean, I do think that this is an important exercise. Like even if my time is in 5 years, I need to have the heart to heart with myself. And I'm talking about me and Vincenzo also. We need to look at our businesses and say, okay, what is the end game? What is my objective? What is my goal for this asset that I own? And okay, for me, let's say I want to sell it for $5 million. And my goal is to sell it for $5 million by 2025. I don't know. Maybe that's your goal. Then it's time to start thinking like the psychology of your buyer. It's almost, you guys are already doing this. When you design products, you're building an avatar for your prospective customer and you're orienting your listing, your bullet points, your videos, your photos. You're doing everything around what she wants so that she'll buy your product. You've got to take a step back and do the same thing for your business. And so, you know, you may have to pay a team to go clean up a couple of months of bookkeeping to get back a year ago, because we want to tell a clean story. So the first thing I would do is day zero is please stop commingling your finances. What I mean by that is we're going to stop putting our personal transactions on the business. We're going to have
a restaurant, clothing.
Yeah. And here's why. One of the most common questions that I get, Vincenzo, is, what am I going to get in terms of ad backs, right? When I go to market, I'm going to get ad backs. And my answer is, well, you're going to win every battle you don't have to fight. In other words, if I can have as clean books as possible, then I don't have to try to argue for that vacation that I have as a travel expense or this
justify. Other.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And so I want to stop commingling my finances and I want to start employing, you know, accrual accounting. And then once I get about 90 days out from wanting to sell, I probably want to start talking to brokers or investment bankers. And I want to get really, really, really focused on inventory. Like our clients, when they get close to exit, we do a detailed reconciliation every single month because the stickiest part of the due diligence is validating that ending inventory balance. If ending inventory is BS, the deal falls apart. Yeah. That's right. So it takes a lot of effort.
Yeah. So now you mentioned inventory, and I also want to go a little bit deeper into that because at the end of the day, inventory can be one of the main reasons business fail because it's a cash flow game, right? Sometimes people overbuy or underbuy, and that creates, you know, a snowball effect that is difficult to basically, you know, stop, right? So now from an inventory perspective, and I guess maybe here we start jumping to the CFO role, right? Because I guess as you start getting bigger and bigger, a CFO can give you advice in terms of how much you can, you know, allocate towards inventory, how much you can allocate towards advertisements and so on. But before we focus on those big sellers and everything, and using this example, how you as a seller from the perspective of let's focus on the 50 grand per month, like small seller, you can make a decision about that, because I guess it's difficult for you for making 50 per month in revenue to decide X should go to advertisement, X should go to profitability, X should go to inventory. Like how you even define those percentages, because sometimes some people might feel it just shooting to the air and hoping the percentages I'm choosing are right. So do you have some guidelines when it comes to that one?
Well, one thing I'll say that I've learned, we've learned this the hard way over the last year, Vincenzo, because we had some clients run into some cash flow troubles. And this is the truth that's been drilled into my head. The consequences of running out of inventory, that sucks. That's not good. But the consequences of running out of cash are death. And so I always, if I'm going to err, I'm always going to err on the side, especially right now when it's hard to get a loan. I'm going to err on the side of not running out of liquidity, because if I run out of liquidity, I die. It doesn't matter how good my strategy is. It doesn't matter how awesome my products are. If I run out of cash, I'm dead. And so the better you are at managing your inventory, knowing where it is, knowing how many days you have left, knowing what your MOQ is and what your lead time is, the better you are at managing it, the less money you have to have trapped in your supply chain. In other words, if I have, kind of think about it like a ship. If I'm a pilot, a captain of a big boat, a ship, if I'm a really good navigator, I can be really close to the harbor and I don't have to worry about crashing. But if I don't have good analytics, my dashboards aren't good, I'm not a good pilot, buddy, I need to be out in the middle of the ocean or I'm going to hit something. I'm going to run against the bottom. Mm-hmm. I'm going to crash. And it's like that with inventory. I want to have as little inventory as possible, but I can't afford to do that unless I'm good at managing my unit counts and stuff like that. And so we can talk about whatever you want to talk about related to that, but that's the game. How can I have as little money tied in inventory as possible without running out of cash, you know, and without running out? And it's a game, man. It's hard. It's tricky.
Yeah, I know. And that's it's cool that you bring this to the table, because yes, I think the inventory for sure is important. But I agree, like, especially now, maybe 2 years ago, you know, running out of cash wasn't a big thing because you could get free money pretty much. Right. But that's not the case anymore. So, yes, I see a lot of even clients that we have and everything, that when it comes to interest rate, it's crazy. Nobody really wants to give money for e-commerce because of the instability. And I guess that's another question I wanted to bring to the table, because given the uncertainty we have in the market with everything in terms of money being expensive, multiples not being where they should be and everything, when it comes to the panorama that you see in 2024, right? What are some of the things maybe people can do from the perspective of, you know, little strategies from a cash flow perspective that can be beneficial? Like, do you feel this is a year that maybe we should focus less on growth and more on just doing the 2080 rule, which is another thing we discussed before going live? I feel a lot of people, because they don't know their numbers, they have a bunch of SKUs, but only, you know, out of 10, only 2 are profitable, and they're still spending a bunch of money on PPC and all of that. Like, what is your take on that situation? Because this year, with everything going on, it's tough, yeah.
Yeah, it really is. I really appreciate you bringing that up, because the big picture is, I think Vincenzo and I both want you to hear this, 2024 is a great year to build value in your business. Now's not the right time to sell for most of us, but this is not like a doom and gloom year. This is a year where we grind. We're going to roll up our sleeves. We're going to do the hard work. And all of the wealth that was created during the pandemic when everyone exited was because of the work that those guys had done in 2017, 2018, 2019. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to make sure this is a positive conversation. Guys, this is when you make your millions, is right now. Mm-hmm. And so to your tactical question, in a year, think about this. If the pie is contracting a little bit, listen, guys, I'm here in the States. This is our fault. I'm sorry. But like, until the money supply leans up enough that we don't have this lingering inflation, the feds are going to keep tightening down and it's going to continue to be difficult. Guess what they're trying to do? They're trying to make it harder for that mom down the street to buy your product because they want the economy to slow down.
Exactly.
That sucks for you and me. And so if you and I are in a world where that's really happening, we can't control that. we have to prioritize profitability and being solid over growth. Because what we can do is we can overextend ourselves and say, darn it, I'm going to grow come hell or high water. Well, guess what? There's less buyers in some of these particular categories. And you could spend, you could have Vincenzo's team spend twice the money on tacos and advertising. Mm-hmm. And you'll sell a little bit more, but you'll lose a ton of money. And it's not worth it. And so this year, what I want to say to everybody is focus on the fundamentals, the passing, the blocking, the tackling, the little things in your business. Document your processes, understand your core economics per SKU and per channel, and focus on profitability and cash flow. And the sun is going to shine again in about a year. The interest rates are going to come down, regardless of what happens in our election or anything else in Israel or whatever else is going on. It's going to get better. And we want to be ready for that, but we don't want to overextend ourselves now while things are kind of risky.
Of course. That's awesome, Tyler. So thank you so much for that. And I think to conclude, based on all the things we've been discussing and bringing to the table, is there anything else you feel maybe people should be aware of in terms of this year that maybe you can give in terms of advice from, you know, from your experience when it comes to handling so many Amazon sellers? Is there anything else maybe we should be aware that you want to use to conclude today's episode as a tip?
I would just say that it's okay to kill a variant. I need to give you permission. You launched five variants when the market was frothy, and now the market's not frothy. If you need to kill the green one because it's underperforming, it's okay. It's not going to destroy the value of your business down the line. Have the courage to kill the bad guys so that the good guys can thrive.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's a mistake I see a lot. People get emotional. The thing, and sometimes you'll be surprised when I have this conversation with sellers, like, oh, the reason why I don't kill certain products is because I don't want to be seen as the seller that had to retreat for a little bit to then be successful. They also concerned about what other people think about them. It's like, guys, this is a business that we're doing this to make money, not to worry about what other people think or the emotional side. So yeah, be logical, as Tyler is saying. And I'm sure if you implement the other tips, you should have a more successful journey in 2024. So, Tyler, I'm sure a lot of people might be, you know, wanting to reach out to you because this is a topic that goes so much deeper. And of course, you guys specialize when it comes to that, and you can provide a ton of value to all the Amazon sellers' interests. So how people can find you and work with your team?
Yeah, so thank you for saying that, Vincenzo. So selleraccountant.com is our website. We have a great active blog. We also have YouTube with a lot of videos. And then I have a podcast kind of like this one called Return on Podcast. So frankly, I need to have you on the show, Vincenzo. But the idea
is that
the intersection of investing and e-commerce is my bag. Vincenzo is about how do you invest your marketing dollars well to make a best return on investment. I love that discussion. And honestly, I can't wait to talk to you about it, buddy, on my show sometime soon.
Thank you, Tyler. So I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for the value you bring to our audience. And I can't wait to meet you again soon at future events. Yeah. Thank you so much, man. Pleasure.
Thanks, pal.
Okay. See ya. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The E-Commerce Lab by Ecomsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.